Why are you all here? This is a boring topic. I was not expecting so many folks, but I'm glad to see you. My name is Frank Eigler. I'm a Red Hat engineer. I don't have a BIOS site because I'm not that interesting, but I've been in free software for a couple of decades, almost three, quite a while. So this talk is about debugging information and another type of information that we hope to popularize storing online, so for occasional uses. Now, many of you guys know debuggers already, all good. The other subject is a little bit more esoteric, but we can still talk about it. I don't know if my mic is coming in okay?
No, the mic is just for the recording.
I know, okay. By the way, who's the next speaker after me? Is that person in the room? Good. I might be able to sell to you sometime. I'll keep this pretty short.
No, I don't want to.
If you buy...
I would have bought it.
Well, I offered you $10, but too late now. So this is boring. How we all write software, right? Source code, binaries come out. People packages up. Someone packages up the binaries into a distribution. Distribution goes out to people. People run binaries. Everything is happy ever after, right? That's all that ever happens, right? 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 So debugging is near and dear to me. I worked on the GDB debugger a little bit here and there back in the prehistoric times, and I've worked on debugger-like tools ever since. And despite all my effort to try and make debuggers irrelevant, we still have bugs in our software, and you still need the silly things. So unfortunately, here we are, and debugging is not so easy. So I have two parts of my presentation. This first part is about debugging information that's online. The second part will be about something else that's online that's tangential, but you'll see the connection pretty shortly. So many debuggers. You know how debugger... is everyone familiar with how debuggers work, roughly speaking? Really? Not you, Pedro. So the main... one of the main challenges of debuggers is that it has to operate at the machine level, at the register level, at the memory bits and bytes level in order to understand the operation of the program you're trying to debug. And this is despite the compiler doing its darndest to erase any remnant of how the original source code looked. It's trying to do its very best in nuking every unnecessary variable access, maybe tightening up the data structures, shuffling things in and out of registers all the time just to make things go damn fast. Compilers are dumb that way. Well, I mean, they're great, but if you need to debug, you need a sophisticated way of telling the debugger where to find all that stuff. So long introduction to that, but we need a good high-quality debug info, which basically gives metadata about where the every piece of the source level constructs are at runtime in the actual machine. So where which registers, which memory spots, how is each complicated data structure laid out, all those things have to be saved by a compiler, put somewhere, and then made ultimately available to a debugger. Does the word dwarf mean you guys know what that stuff is? Yeah. So, okay. Can you give me a few adjectives about dwarf? From the heart. Okay. Say again. Did you say short? Liar.
Liar.
Yeah, so a dwarf is a very compact, amazing little almost graph database kind of thing. It is absolutely nothing but, it is not short. It can be order of magnitude larger than the actual binary. And because it is that large, distributions tend not to ship the thing, not to ship it to normal users because, you know, like I said here, users just run things, right? You never debug, so they don't get the debug info normally. But say you do run into a problem and you do want to debug, well, then you need this information, right? So either you can be the developer who already had this, or for the last 20-ish years, various distros made available the original debug data that the compiler generated, but it's not installed. It's somewhere off in a separate repository. You have to sometimes enable and change the root and download. And if you're lucky, you get the corresponding debug data that for the binder that you're trying to work on. So the brand new 2019 thing, which we, as a member of my team talked about here 2 years ago, when it was younger, is this gadget that we and community built called Debug Info D, which automates the distribution of the debug info and other precious such things. And the whole idea is to make it as easy as possible for people, not just developers, but ordinary users, to automatically, without special privilege, get all this stuff for as much of the system as possible. You know, without having to go into root, without having to you know, activate channel rel dash debug dash blah blah blah. Okay. So that's our little baby there. The first URL points you toward a website that describes the current situation. As I said, the project is now getting to its third or fourth year, so it is I cannot call it a prototype in any sort of honest way. But work is still ongoing quite a bit. When we built this, it's a small server part of shipped with the AlfUtils toolset, which is related to ELF and Dwarf decoding and processing and such. And there are a lot of low-level, machine-level tools in there. So Debug Info D is shipped with AlfUtils, and it's shipped on all the major distros that I know of. I forgot to mention this, but I mean, all it is it allows a debugger type tool to request debug info as well as source code for any binary based on the hexadecimal unique build ID that's inside the binary. So this is a kind of a hash code that's been in binaries for almost 20 years, thanks to Roland McGrath and a bunch of other people who made it happen way back in the early aughts. So it's an HTTP server. It's just an ordinary, boring HTTP server as far as the clients are concerned. It's very cacheable. It's very lightweight, very, very simple. No, like, XML, API, blah, blah, blah. It's just HTTP. Because it is trying to be really simple, we found it over a course of a couple of months to year, most major debugging type tools grew capability to use this API, use this web system to fetch this stuff. So obviously GDB is one of them. It was one of the first. But SystemTap, which is another tool of this kind, is close to me. Practically all the debuggers and tracing tools and profiling tools we know of is able to do this now. So the clients are well dispersed in the source code system. The servers are also in really good shape. Over the last few years, a whole bunch of distros came online with running their own Debug Info D server. So Fedora was one of the first. But CentOS is up there. Debian, Ubuntu, and other smaller distros, they're all running this server now, whereby their own distro is fully debuggable through this system. So that's cool. We're not quite finished with it. There's a piece of extension stuff that we're still working on. One of them is that's particularly cool is cryptographic signature preservation of individual files. As you may know, archives as a whole can be signed by distros, and then a client can verify that the RPM has been unmodified, and that's cool. But if you don't want to download the whole RPM because it's too large or for various reasons, you just want to extract the actual source file that you want or an actual little debug dwarf file, you still want to be assured somehow that that file was what the initial distro packaged, right? You don't want to make sure it wasn't adulterated somewhere in the middle. It's kind of security critical. So we're bringing into this web protocol the propagation of the signatures that may have been applied by the distro at the build system level. And that's it's not easy, and not many distros do that level of signature stuff yet, but Fedora and very modern RHEL do, and we hope others come online too. But what's nice is that each individual file has its own crypto signature, which can pass down through Debug Info D all the way to the clients, so they can be assured they get the correct 100% grade A certified file. All righty. I couldn't bring myself to try a demo here. I was too chicken. But the whole idea with this debugging for the client stuff is that it is really automated, integrated, and you don't have to do anything special. On the distros that this is enabled on, you just don't have to even do the first line. It'll be done for you in the etc profile for all your shells. And you just run GDB on any random binary or your own binary, and then it'll look, and it'll pull in the debug info for any shared libraries that you're using, any source files you're stepping into. It'll just pull each piece down one by one as necessary. And it's just it becomes a non-problem. So there's almost nothing to see because it's just so smooth and automated. Parts of it can be slow for hilarious reasons, but I'll explain why if someone asks me that question. Anyway, it is nice. It is out there in many distros. I hope you guys enjoy it, and I hope it makes your lives a little easier. That is assuming you ever encounter bugs. All right. So, switching over to the other sort of health topic. Does everyone know what ABI means? Can there be someone person who does not know, so I can justify talking about it? No? Thank you. I'll just be brief. As brief as possible. So it's interesting. There's a lot of interest, especially for ISVs who want to build a piece of software and then distribute it, let people run it on multiple distros. But even for normal projects who might want to build a binary of their own releases and then ship that to various other distributions. You caught that? To ship that in various distributions so that it could be used unmodified. Sometimes they have other problems like wanting to match different generations of shared libraries which might have had little evolutions of their own ABI, whether a function signature got changed or a type got changed, and something that's not the same at the binary level than it used to be, which means that shared linking between them is no longer safe. Some projects, some shared library author projects are exquisitely careful about this, and they do incredible measures to prevent this kind of breakage. When they update their shared library, it becomes backward compatible to decades ago by a lot of the works. Like glibc is one of the best in this regard. But some libraries are less good at that. So if you want to write a binary that will work with multiple shared libraries, you need to either kind of ignore the problem, hope it doesn't happen, or you need to find a tool to check whether this will work with that. Okay, it is a bit esoteric, but and there are lots of solutions, or several solutions, which try to work around this whole problem by just giving you, bundling you the one random version of the shared library from some random distro, package it together into a container image or a Flatpak or whatever, and they just plop the whole thing on your system, and then you know they've done the integration checking, and they know it'll work. It's legitimate. It's just it's very space obnoxious, and some of them still kind of intermingle the bundle libraries and the host libraries at startup time. They kind of do version checking, and they hope that you know the host's libgl will work with their version of libxt or whatever. So even this is a bit fuzzy. So anyway, what we're proposing is that projects that deal with multiple versions of shared libraries that they're concerned about compatibility checking for ABIs, consider the gadget I'm going to talk about. Okay. You know, maybe we'll just skip this one. Everyone knew. Was there still a person whom I didn't tell what the ABI was? It turns out to be exactly the same metadata that a debugger uses to find variables at runtime. This is exactly the same data. It's just that it happens to be useful to examine even at compile time. So even with just the dead libraries on disk, by parsing and processing the exact same debug info, you can tell whether that shared library has the same binary guarantees as a normal program might require. Sorry if I belabor the obvious, guys. Okay. Our team at Red Hat, one of the tools they work on is this gadget called LibAbigail. I'm not sure who works on that guy there. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's a suite of tools, binary tools, that compare shared libraries versus shared library by extracting their debug info, basically, and just parsing it piece by piece, function by function, type by type, make sure they're all compatible with each other. It can also do match a binary to a variety of shared libraries and see whether they still meet each other's needs. It's like a good marriage, maybe. One thing that it limited, though, is that to do this work, it needs to have all the files that you want to compare right there on your local disk. Okay, so if you want to compare your binary to a RHEL 6 version of libc or libxgl and a Ubuntu version, you need to somehow get hold of those files first, and you can't really just do it otherwise. So our gadget, or the new gadget we're adding to LibAbigail, is a way of not requiring you to download all these shared libraries and all their corresponding debug info for all these versions of distros that you might not even have or not even want, just curious about. A key to that is to realize that Abigail also can take not just dwarf files, but also an XML representation of the dwarf. And XML is just conversion. It's a subset and conversion. Is that my 4-minute warning? We're doing okay. And because it's XML, it's large, but it's textual and it's compressible. And that, with the one-track mind that I have, how can we store a large amount of XML? You know, for all the shared library data for a large distro, it's text, it's large. You want to share it? Well, hell. That's not the next time. I'm gonna leave that a mystery for 20 seconds. Oops, one moment. 2 moments. It's free software. Don't worry, it's good. Okay. But yeah, we'll just skip over here. So writing a little tool, it's really just a thin wrapper around the existing LibAbigail tooling to extract this XML version of the ABI, jam it in Git, because we love Git. It's a great way to store text files, and it's a great way to ship them, great way to compress the heck out of them, and let them coexist in some nice way. So we can extract XML from a large corpus of files. We can give it a whole boatload of RPMs or Debians or whatever. It will automatically extract all the shared libraries. It'll download all the debug info from them automatically via debug info D if necessary. And it will generate a Git tree which has all this XML stuff nicely structured that then can be used by the tool itself to later do a compatibility check. That way you don't have to install the foreign distributions anymore. Anyone can do you the honor or the favor of collecting this ABI XML stuff, sharing it in Git, put it up publicly, and then anyone who wants to compatibly check against that version of the OS does no longer has to worry about this. This is a crowdsourceable enterprise. So try this at home. No demo because no demo. But it is really not hard to use. All the prep work is just getting the software. But the key thing is that the data is in one crowdsourced version of data is now a couple of gigabytes. It has a big section of RHEL 8, all of RHEL 8 in there. It's ABI stuff, a few other Ubuntu releases just randomly done in there to plan to expand it to have as many distros in there as people are willing to give us. To submit new information, it looks like these command lines. This is just to demonstrate. You can build your own shared library at your own institution and jam it into your own database. This version tells you that it can just mass import whole RPMs, and it'll do the right thing. You know, decompress and aggregate all the information. And the top here is how you check a random binary against the entire set of shared libraries that that binary needs. There are a few bits of cleverness in there, small. It's not very clever, it's just a little clever. For example, as you know, libraries get updated every now and then. We want to make sure we can store more than one version of the same shared library in the database, right? There's not just one glibc, but 10 per update. So they all have to have a naming convention that lets them coexist, so we do that. But those are internal details. The basic thing is you can submit to the database this way, and you can check with that, and it tries to be that simple. And that's my conclusion page right there. That all the code is open source, obviously, and all the servers are extremely low tech on purpose. The first one is a very thin HTTP server, and the second one is just literally a Git server that happens to have structured data inside it. So easy, and even I could do it. It's very, very straightforward, baby technology. And thank goodness, that's it. Can we have entertainment for questions?
Yeah, we have minus 5 minutes.
Minus 5 minutes, my God. Okay, zero questions? Okay.